everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. No guest tonight. Just the way I like it, Drew. You know why?
Because you don't have to work so hard.
More me.
Oh, yeah.
More me.
Everyone listen to Adam.
Everyone listen to me.
Yeah.
So, we will just take your calls, and you will be the guest tonight. Drew, anything you'd like to get to before we get on the phones?
No.
That's
how about you?
Good. Nope. Nothing to say at all. Elizabeth?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
What's going on? How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
That's good.
Just wanted to get some info. Well, my boyfriend actually wants to have another girl.
Shocked.
I'm sorry?
Just such a rare sort of impulse on a 23-year-old male's part.
Well, the only thing is I've never thought about it. I've never thought about being with another girl. It's just never crossed my mind, and it's like I want to please him.
Right.
But it's okay.
Well,
how?
This is...
Reserve some judgment for just one second.
No, I can't. No.
How long have you been together with him?
Well, 4 years.
4 years. Do you have any kids?
No.
Are you serious about this relationship?
Yeah.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about marriage?
Not anytime soon.
Well, are you thinking about it? Maybe he's...
I am.
Right. He's not thinking about it.
Possibly not.
Mm. See, here's the thing that's interesting about this is... You're thinking about marriage. It's been 4 years, and you're thinking, what I really need to do is please this guy.
Right.
Because I would like to make this guy my
That'll
man.
That'll show him how committed I am.
Right.
But you're going in the wrong direction, Elizabeth. It's going completely wrong direction.
The problem is this ends up being a strike against the relationship. It doesn't aid you in the relationship.
And this is him just seeing what he can get away with you. Completely.
Well, I mean, okay, yeah, that too.
You know what this is? Drew, tell me if you've done this, and then try to be honest for a second. You know, it's like there's certain jobs, there's certain relationships, there's certain situations that you treat like a rental car. Like you think to yourself, what do I care? I'm going to be around for a week.
Right.
Then I'm going to turn the thing back in. I'm going to get some takeout, eat it on my lap, light up a nice cigar, throw it into reverse when I'm going forward 10 miles an hour.
They call this good for now.
Good for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a job where I don't particularly care if the boss gets pissed off and fires me, so I'll show up late. This is a rental
it's
car.
Good enough for now.
It's a rental car.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we have it and the wheels come off, who cares?
Yeah. That's where he's going with this.
Well, he's been around for 4 years, and
that's the kind of prick he is.
Not made a move. Why do you think? Do you think he's going to want to get married?
No. No. Has he given that "don't talk to me about marriage" thing?
No, he's never specifically said I want to get married.
Has he said "don't talk to me about that"? I'm not ready.
No, we never really talked about it.
Well, obviously, you're scared to bring it up for a reason.
No, I'm not.
Well, you want to get married.
4 years, you've been wanting to bring it up, and you haven't.
It was just something, you know.
Hey, Elizabeth, 4 years you wanted to bring it up, and you haven't. You're afraid of something.
No, not too much. I'm just wanting everything to go smoothly before everything happens.
Well, listen here, Einstein. You've been wanting to get married for, let's say, at least a couple of years. Why have you not brought that up to him?
I've asked him.
And what does he say?
He laughed.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. So you have got an answer.
Yeah.
The answer is...
You got to be kidding.
Maybe we're both not ready for it yet.
No, you're ready.
Neither one of you is ready in reality.
In reality, but you're ripe.
You
ready.
You want to get married,
right.
And he doesn't. That's the reality.
And so your job is to assert yourself, not to please him. Please him just puts you further into the tank.
Okay, so maybe you should start. What's this guy do for a living?
Truck driver.
Nah.
Well, he's a hard worker, I tell you that much.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Nobody sells drugs to preschoolers like this guy.
Janitor?
50 hours a week this guy works selling drugs to preteens. What does he do for a living?
He's an electrician.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Decent. Doing any union work, is he?
Just here and there.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. Let me ask this. What is it with women that they have no idea?
What you're asking.
No, not what you're asking. Well, they don't know what you're asking, but they have no idea what their men do for a living.
Yeah.
You understand? I said to my mom the other day, what's my stepdad? What's he make? What's he make a year? She said, oh, I don't know. I said, no, I don't need to. You don't have to, you know, round to the dollar. I don't need cents. Oh, I don't know. I said, well, wait a minute. Is it 40 grand a year? Is it 100 grand a year? I honestly couldn't tell you. I said, are you kidding me? This, by the way, why we fight all the time, because I treat my mom like a listener and I get indignant. Are you high? What do you mean you don't know how much he makes?
Do you say, listen, Tardo?
Yeah. Listen, Tardo. Listen, Tard Mom. I don't like your tone. Well, Jesus Christ, how much does the guy make? No idea. And this is like when we talk to these women whose dad flew 700 carrier missions in an A-4 over Vietnam and is highly decorated. And they go, I think he did something on a boat.
With airplanes?
Oh, you may not even get the airplane part out of them. Okay. Elizabeth?
Yes.
I don't trust this guy. It sounds like you're covering up for him.
Oh, yeah.
Does he work? Is he working consistently?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Does he make okay money?
Yes.
And how old is he?
27.
And, you know, it's time, 4 years, he's 27. Not even thinking about marriage, huh?
Nah.
Right. You don't think you could do any better than him?
Well, I love him, so I'm not really out there looking for...
Okay. All right. So, and you think if you give him the threesome, maybe it'll bring you guys closer together?
Possibly.
Not possible.
Did you have anyone in mind?
Did I have anyone in mind?
Did you have anyone in mind?
No, I didn't.
Did he have anyone in mind?
Not at the moment.
But the way you answered that was as if he had somebody in mind, wasn't it?
Okay, well, see, there's this girl, like a friend of mine, and she's just like...
Hold on. Loveline Recreation.
Did you have someone in mind?
Did I have anyone in mind?
Did you have someone in mind?
Did I have it, or did he?
Did he have someone in mind?
No.
Not at the moment.
No.
not at the moment was the answer.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
He does have somebody in mind or not?
No.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Okay. So the last we spoke to you 10 seconds ago, he sort of had someone in mind.
I mean, that's the point. You know, I had this girlfriend of mine that she's kind of off a little bit. She's not sure what she wants to do or who she wants to be with.
Yeah.
And I told him about it, you know, not knowing that he would say, okay, well, you know, maybe her.
Elizabeth considers her off.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And,
well, I mean, I would never think of being with a girl. It's,
yeah, okay. Well, that you're telling us about...
I would do it for him.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's
all right. And listen, goofball, he will be further away from marrying you,
yes,
if you get into this threesome.
Guaranteed.
There,
that's a guarantee.
That is a fact. I don't want to tell you, you know, I'm not here to pass moral judgment, and I'm not here to squelch people's plans and notions, especially around the holidays, of having threesomes. But I'm just telling you as a fact and from our experience. You will be further away from matrimony with this guy if you have the threesome with him. That is our experience, okay?
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
And we suggest you assert yourself, ask him if he's going to get married, tell him to ask or get off the pot, and if he's not, listen to that and move on. All right, goofball?
Yes.
And kick your dad in the nuts if you ever see him again.
I will.
Whenever he gets paroled, all right?
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I will.
Is he in the can?
I'm sorry?
Is he in the joint right now?
No.
All right. Do you see your dad?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shocking.
If you do come across him, I want you to kick him, though, right?
Oh, I will.
Yeah, because he's a bad
She's
guy.
She's been planning
right?
that
for Oh, yes, very much.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, baby.
You understand that's what sets you up for this, so there we go.
Don't have any kids.
Please.
Steffi?
Dear God,
yeah.
Don't.
Don't even have a hamster. Steffi, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up there?
Well, I started drinking when I was about 13, right?
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah, and then I started, like, you know, cutting school and stuff, like, go hey, mister, like, across the street at the liquor store and stuff like that.
Go hey, mister? Oh, I see.
Yeah, hey, mister, that's how I get liquor. And I get drunk in the woods with some friends and whatnot. And
no, slow down here. Had the hey, mister, who are the guys that you'd pick on to buy beer for you?
Well, most people go in the liquor store in the morning.
Like, what, like, what would they say to you when you'd go, "Hey, mister"?
Well, I look older. I didn't look like a little kid at the time. Like, I've always looked like older, you know.
Yeah.
So I was 15. Like
14. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, what's up? You go in the liquor store and get me something to drink, and you, like half of them would say no, and I'd have to be like, okay. So yeah.
I'd Whoa! Hold on.
No, so, I drink alcohol.
Stevie's like, you know, at 13, I used another drink. And I'd, you know, go to the bank, "Hey, mister," and I go to the woods, and I have something behind an old fashioned. "What? Hey, mister?" "You know anything?" "Guy going in." "Hey, mister?" "No, I didn't look there. I look 70. I'm 70. And he coming in, and I go to the woods. So anyway, I'm going to the woods, 70, mister."
"Why are you acting stupid like that?"
"Stevie?"
"Yeah."
"Slow it down,
oh,
baby.
Boy.
We're old. We can't stay up.
You can't process like that."
"Okay."
So you get someone to buy you booze. You get someone to buy you booze, and you go to the woods and you drink it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Steph Rockola.
Yeah.
At age 13.
Uh huh.
All righty.
And then I got caught because I would go into school drunk,
right.
And they gave me these AA classes,
okay.
And I had to complete a certain amount of them. And if I didn't, then, you know.
Well, the fact that you consider AA a class means you didn't do crap in those sessions.
No, not really.
You didn't even participate. You didn't listen. You didn't do crap.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
well,
what's your
13.
Question? Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, so now me and my boyfriend, Brent, we'll drink about 5:40s for breakfast. And then, like, throughout the day, we're constantly drinking. And, you know, like, I have friends come over and stuff.
Hold on. Is your boyfriend's name Brent?
Brandon.
Okay, boy, you even shortened that one up.
Brennan.
That's not my boyfriend, Brennan. Brennan.
Yeah.
You drink 5:40s?
Yeah, like 5:40s in the morning. And then like throughout the day, we'll drink like 20:40s. And then we'll have like...
Hold on. In the morning, what time in the morning?
Like, you know, like lunchtime, 12 or so.
It's when they get up.
In the morning when you get up. So it's not really in the morning. It's noontime, right?
Yeah.
And you drink 5 40-ouncers.
Between you.
Between me and Brandon. No, I'll have 5 myself. And then
it was Bran again, by the way. Bran.
Is his name Brandon?
Or Bran?
How come you can't say your boyfriend's name?
Brandon. There.
Okay.
Okay.
I could short to Brennan.
Okay.
Bran.
So you drink, and then you drink 20 40-ouncers during the day.
Yeah, throughout the day, between
and,
me and him.
And is that just a, you know, cheap malt liquor kind of thing?
Yeah, like
well, here's the great news.
Right.
You will get liver disease way before he does.
Yeah,
why?
Women lack an enzyme in the stomach to break down the alcohol, and it's actually a couple stages after it's alcohol, and it creates a liver toxin. So women have a 5 times greater risk of cirrhosis than men.
Mm-hmm. And who drinks the bulk of this booze? Do you guys pretty
it's
much
about
split?
The same.
You guys split it, huh?
Yeah.
So hold on. So you're drinking like 12, 13, 40-ouncers a day?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's getting really ridiculous. And, like, the problem is,
right?
It's like my friends and stuff, like, notice this problem. Because my friends, like, they barely do anything.
Well,
like, they barely drink.
It compared to you, it's a, yeah, and nobody drinks.
But Steffi, I understand it's a problem, but why not switch over to hard stuff?
I do. And then I'll drink some rum and some vodka and stuff like that. But
it just seems like so much work to drink.
40s are cheaper, though.
40s are cheaper, but to...
It's like $2.
Physically consume that volume, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, there's every 3 of those is like a gallon or something.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, how big a gal are you?
Not that big. Like medium.
I mean, it's like eating 120 loaves of bread every day or something. It's got
to
be.
I have to pee a lot.
I'm always amazed. I used to work with Russ the drywall. I drank a case of Tall Boys every day of like Old Milwaukee 16-ouncers every day. And I was like, how do you drink a case?
Yeah, but this isn't like a 15, 16-hour span throughout a day. It's not like all right away.
Oh,
oh okay.
Well, then that, okay.
Right, well, that's different.
Sure.
Okay, so. So you got a problem.
Yeah, and see, it's like, I feel like it when I go out in public, it's like, I have to be drunk or I can't be myself now.
Well, you don't drink. Whoa. You're going to have a seizure, Steph. This is profound alcoholism.
What do you guys do for work?
We're not working at this time.
What do you do for money?
My parents give it to us. I mean, I don't live with my parents or anything, but
right.
I'll get money from, like, my grandparents or my parents or something like that.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot of booze.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about, like, $20 a day, $30, something like that.
What about Brennan? Does he want to clean up, too?
Yeah, he does, too, but okay. I started it with him. He wasn't...
I was the one who started it, and
well,
I feel bad.
Maybe you guys, it seems like you're both going to have to quit the
for the relationship.
40 ounces a day.
If the relationship's going to survive, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is profound alcoholism, and you do not stop on your own. You've got to be medically supervised for this.
I mean, I've had, like, a shrink before and stuff, like, try to help me with this, and they just say I have, like, this antisocial disorder or something.
Well, you may have that. You may have that, too, but you also have profound alcoholism, and that needs to be treated in a chemical dependency setting, in a hospital.
Because she'll go into withdrawal.
The withdrawal can be profound from this. And not only that, if you have other psychiatric conditions, those need to be assessed and treated. And you obviously need to be thrown into a very highly intensive program because you're obviously resistive. You've been in before, you do nothing. And you're kind of defiant about this stuff.
Well, she was 13 when she was in.
You don't casually call someone antisocial.
I'm amazed at the tolerance of the human body.
Women get nailed, though. Women get bad liver disease.
But I'm just amazed that a woman who's, by her own description, not overweight, mm-hmm. you know, 135-pound woman, can just chug herself 13, 14, 40 ounces a day, every day, and be sort of functional about it.
Mm-hmm. Tolerance.
I know, but just putting down that much liquid. And I don't know, Drew, if you've had yourself a nice 40 ounces of malt liquor.
If I drink three Cokes a day, it's like huge.
But the malt liquor does not just slide across the tongue and down the gullet. Right. I mean, it's nasty tasting. you'd really have to work to drink that much, and especially women. Women like wine coolers and cosmopolitans, and like your wife, she likes the Red Bull and vodka. I mean, that's just, for a woman, a young woman, to drink that much malt liquors. We've never heard that, have we?
Mm-mm.
All right. You gotta get yourself checked in somewhere, Steffi. You and Brennan.
Brennan.
John? John?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
What's up, John? Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Let's talk to Jackie, who's 24. Jackie?
Yes.
What's happening?
To put it briefly, my husband and I got in an insanely mad fight last night, and he pushed all the buttons, and I ended up hitting him a couple times.
Right.
And then he went out in the living room where our two kids were listening to the whole thing, picked up my daughter, and made me seem like the bad one.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Well, there's a history of us arguing. We've been married for 2 years, been together for 5. My oldest daughter is 2.
Uh-huh.
And my son is 5 months.
Yeah. Can't you guys knock it off for the goddamn kids, please?
I try. But my other issue is that I have a problem. I cannot function. I break down and cry at the littlest things, and my daughter's seen it.
All right.
And that really bothers me.
Oh.
I've tried Prozac. I'm on Paxil. That's not working. I've tried Celexa and Zoloft.
What happened to you growing up?
Got it.
Huh?
What I remember, my parents fought when I was 3 years old.
Oh, shocking that we would be recreating the exact scene that you went through.
True.
I don't want this to happen to my kids.
All righty.
It's already happened here, though, right?
Pardon me?
It's already happened.
Well, yeah, but I don't want it to happen again.
Okay.
But it's already happened.
I mean, I can realize that there's a problem with it, and I don't want to cause any more emotional damage.
All right, so you need to get some professional help with this, right?
Yeah, I've tried, but it just...
So you want it to happen again?
She tried.
Okay, then you need professional help.
Well, I know that, but I've tried counseling, and
Jackie?
Yes? Yes.
What do you think's going to magically work here?
Well, I've tried some medications, and they work for a while, but then they stop.
Why won't you get some counseling, then, and stay with it and actually do some work?
Because I have no health insurance right now, and I can't find anyone that has openings. I live in the boondock.
All right.
Can you not have any more kids, please?
Oh, gosh, trust me, I'm not.
You're right. What are you doing about that?
I'm on the depot shot right now.
Good.
Is that affecting your mood some, too?
No, I don't think so. I was having problems before that. I just went on the shot in December.
What about your husband? How's he to counsel?
Borderline schizophrenic, but he refuses to get any help, and he says he doesn't have a problem.
Couldn't you just get a catapult and launch the kids into the neighbor's yard or something so they could have a good life? I mean, what are you guys doing here? I hate to kick someone when you're down, but why the kids? Why are you two having kids?
Well, my second one, honestly, I wasn't ready, and I told him I wasn't ready.
Okay. Well, as long as you weren't ready.
Well.
All right. Well, as long as you didn't want the kid, that's fine. Now we're on the same page.
No, that's bad.
Okay. So, listen, you unfortunately, I mean, here's the problem. You have a little bit of a disability. Your husband has a little disability, and you want to raise these kids in an environment that was different than the environment that you grew up in.
Yet,
magically, it's turning into that environment. And you're going to have to work very hard, maybe harder than a lot of people who don't have these troubles, to create that good environment for these kids.
And that's going to include your husband taking some medication.
That's definitely going to include your husband doing his work, and it's going to include you being creative about finding some help and some counseling and doing things that involve some driving or taking measures and steps that may be more difficult for you than you would like in order to escape this tragedy for your kids. Because the deal is, Jackie, you got this little window with your kids, and then after that, it'll never be undone. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. You grew up in one of those crappy families.
Yeah, we've discussed separating, and we're all now we don't have the money. He just lost his job.
No, we didn't mention separating, did we?
No, you didn't. But
okay.
I mean, until we work it out, I think that's what's best for the kids. But my other question is, Dr. Drew, do you have any opinions on any kind of medication that I can go to my doctor with? Because he is clueless on it, and I've seen a couple different doctors.
Well, if your husband is a schizophrenic, he needs to get on some meds.
Yeah, he needs to be in meds. You've not been tried on Serazone or Effexor yet, and it sounds like you need something to deal with your agitation, like Seroquel or Zyprexa.
Okay.
So these are things that, you know, maybe adding Seroquel to your pack. There's other things that can be done here.
But talk to your doctor about your husband, too. Does he have a doctor?
He refuses to go and see one.
And doesn't it seem like a kind of dangerous guy to be?
Well, I got into it, and he was, you know, he's 15 years older than I am, so there was this big, long courting that lasted 3 months. And I totally fell in love with him, and then
3 months
courtship. 3 years into it, the day we get married, he just freaks out, and it was horrible.
Okay, but anyway, this guy's the father of your kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so was your dad around when you grew up?
No, my mom wouldn't let him.
Oh, because he was a borderline schizophrenic.
No, not my dad. My dad told me a couple years ago, we started talking when I was 14, just before my 15th birthday. I contacted him on my own choice, and my mom hated it, and she was really mean to me for like 2 years. My dad quit seeing me when I was a kid because I told him one day that my mom was mean to me when I saw him, so he stayed out of my life to prevent any further pain
I'm
to me,
sure,
because when my mom
that.
Attacked my dad, it didn't work. When she attacked me, he backed off.
I think you're letting him off just a little bit too easy there, Jackie.
Well, no, I know more things that have happened.
No kidding.
All right, Jackie.
We've made our amends.
Yeah, listen, is anyone sane in your family that these kids could be dropped off at?
No, my sister, but she couldn't take them.
Okay.
She has 12 kids.
Family's really screwed up.
You couldn't just let a family of raccoons raise them or something?
No.
All right. Look, you go to your doctor and throw yourself on the mercy of him and tell him about your husband and his schizophrenia and his refusal to get help and how you think that's affecting the kids.
You should not be being cared for by a primary care person. You need a mental health professional, psychiatrist or any other.
Okay.
Seroquel, Zyprexa, I think, remember those medicines.
Right. And if anybody who's listening doesn't think Jackie and her crazy husband's kids are any of our business as a society, they're just hugely wrong. That is the future. That's the trouble, everybody. That's what you're running into. Just close your eyes and picture Drew's three kids and then the screwballs that are running around Jackie's house. Who are we building the prisons for? Who do we get the parole officers for? Who's the unemployment for? Who's it all for? Where's the crime coming from? Where is it? Where's it coming from? I hate to beat the crap out of Jackie, but as a society, this is where we need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
Where else do we have to look? I can tell you where it is. We got to worry about Drew's kids? No. They'll be nuts, possibly gay, but we don't have to worry about them. They will not cost us a penny. They will not cost us a penny. Whereas Jackie's kids, millions of dollars by the time they're bar mitzvahed. You think they're Jewish, Drew?
Let me think.
What do you want to think?
No.
No? Okay. I got that gut feeling.
I think they're Korean.
Okay. Jackie, take care of yourself. Take care of your kids. Don't have any more. And get help for that husband.
Love Line.
Hey, Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Remy Zero in here tomorrow night, Drew?
It looks like it.
All righty.
And then Puddle of Mud.
And then some band called No Guest. Let's see there.
It's a spinoff of No Doubt.
Brittany?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I have a really hard time like sleeping if I don't have an orgasm before I go to sleep.
Boyfriend named Brent?
I'm sorry?
Yep. Do you give yourself an orgasm before you go to bed?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wait.
Sometimes?
Sometimes?
Like I do, and I wait for all.
Really? You do it, but you wait for all?
You lose a pleasure?
Okay. You know, I'm going to start giving advice the way we get the questions. Brittany?
Yes.
Let me tell you that the answers to all your questions is the cure to all your troubles is.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to need you to do is. Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I have to
kind of
be
okay.
quiet. So.
Who's nearby?
My parents.
Your parents?
In the next room?
Yeah.
So you masturbate every night before you go to sleep?
Pretty much.
How long have you done?
About 2 years, probably.
2 years? And why is this a problem for you?
I don't know, like, I don't understand, because I can't go to sleep. If I don't, I just can't go to sleep.
And if you do it, you go to sleep?
Yeah.
Do you not get tired, or are you just sort of obsessed with it?
I guess I'm obsessed.
So you're thinking about it if you don't do it?
Yeah.
And once you declare in your own feeble mind, and I know because I have a feeble mind, that you cannot do this X. without that,
yeah.
then you will not do it.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
although
fine.
She may really need it. There are some people that do this. It's no big deal.
Well, that's your little ritual. Some people floss, you diddle.
Okay, because I started messing with myself when I was 4.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Are you okay? You doing all right? And otherwise?
I guess, yeah.
You have friends?
You weren't traumatized or anything growing up?
My mom beat me.
Ooh.
Well, did you have it coming?
But that is some of the reason that young kids get into sexual arousal, to try to sort of divert from some of that trauma experience.
Does she beat you anymore?
No, my dad pulled me out of the house. Like, she put me in the emergency room. My dad found out about it, and so I moved back to California.
Ooh, what did she do to you that put you in the emergency room?
She cracked my skull. Like, she fractured my skull. She slammed my head in the tile so many times that it fractured it.
God.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Are you had some treatment?
Yeah, I was in counseling for a while, but I never said anything about my problems.
Why don't you get back in counseling and really actually get something out of it?
Okay.
You only get out what you put in, and it requires abject honesty and a desire for change.
Imagine how horrifying that is to have mama sort of freaking on you physically way, banging your head against the tile. Do you know what I mean? I mean, wouldn't you almost just be sort of perpetually scrambled?
Uh-huh.
What would your... When you walked down the street, what would you see?
What would your expectation of the world be after that? Think about it.
Yeah, it's one thing for daddy to do it, which is really bad, but I believe it's marginally worse to have mama do it, and it's worse to have mama do it to her daughter.
Mm.
So that's about as weird as it gets. Nicole?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I have been going out with my boyfriend for 2 years. We just celebrated our anniversary yesterday.
Alrighty.
And for the past year, we've been getting in horrible fights. He has a really bad temper. He's just basically really verbally abusive. And recently, I've been having dreams at night about other guys.
And you've already put in 2 years of this relationship, and you'd of course need to put in a few more.
Right.
Yeah, give it another 6 years.
Yeah.
And then get out.
Yeah. Well, I'm young, you know what I mean? I'm young, and I've been with him since I've been 16.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Yeah.
And
well, this hopefully, unless you sort of seek out these sorts of traumatic, abusive guys,
yeah,
this kind of relationship would last about 3 weeks.
Right.
That's a little long.
Yeah,
maybe 10 days.
Last 10 days when you're older.
Yeah.
You don't know how to end a relationship now. You think there can be no one else in your life. You idealize this guy. You love him.
Well, there's this weird thing. It's like, you know, we get it all the time, and maybe you have these feelings, Nicole, which is, I've put in 2 years. I can't throw those 2 years away.
Yeah. So I'll throw 6 more away.
Right.
But it's like saying, I was in prison for 5 years. I can't just leave and throw it away.
I got to put in another 5.
Right.
Yeah, so
well, I really honestly feel like this. I really want to marry him.
Here it goes.
Ooh, you want to marry him?
I really do. I mean.
Yeah, Nicole, forget that.
Why?
Forget that.
Well, wait a minute. Why do you want to marry him?
Where's my bourbon?
Because she's going to force this up the tuchus.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, what the heck am I doing? And then other times it's just like, you know, we're so much alike, but in other ways we're so different.
This is all fantasy.
And hold on. And remember, Drew, remember when you used to speak in those terms about we're so alike?
Yeah. We're soulmates.
We're soulmates.
Except
we have
in most
so much
ways
in common.
Different.
Or we look. Is that even a factor anymore? Does you being alike with someone even factor into whether you're friends or lovers with them anymore?
No.
I mean, it's important that they speak English.
Being alike is sort of a negative, really.
Who the hell? Listen, yeah. I know what it's like being with someone who's like me. I beat off when I get off. That's called beating off. Some guy with a nasal condition and nappy hair and never stops talking about high school.
And his mom and porno. I mean, oh, my God.
We're so alike.
Oh,
we're so alike. He loves us. She loves model airplanes. She loves telling high school football stories and complaining about everyone else.
Dude, you beat off?
She's got a hairy ass. Her balls smell. We're so much alike.
But Nicole is so rigidly preoccupied with this guy, you can't talk her out of it. She can't get out of it. She can't see her way out of it.
Nicole?
Yes?
Don't you have any friends that have tried to talk you out of this guy?
I have. And it's just been recently, like this weekend, we just got in a horrible fight.
Wait a minute. Stop.
Do you have friends that have tried to talk you out of this guy?
Yes.
For the last year?
Yes.
Okay. The world is telling you something. They're seeing this reality, and you are not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just hanging on to the fact that I think maybe he'll change.
Nicole,
I don't know.
It will never happen.
Really?
Well, if he spent a year, is he drink too? Does he drink?
No.
Or DuPont, or the drugs or anything?
No, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
Worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
It's worse. There's nothing
that's
not
treatable.
To do.
That's treatable.
Yeah, it's like a guy who walks with a limp, and it's like, well, maybe when his leg heals, it's like, no, he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to correct.
Yeah.
It's better if a guy could just get off the booze, get off the speed, get off the weed.
Yeah.
This guy's clean, sober, and an a-hole. Oh, listen to your friends.
Yeah. They wouldn't tell you that. What's their motivation in telling you that unless it's something they're saying?
You've been with the guy since you were 16.
Those relationships are supposed to end. It's a problem when they don't.
There you go. Seth?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, man. Hey. I got this problem, dude.
Yeah?
Okay. There's 2 chicks, right? Mm-hmm. One of them is being strung along by an ex-boyfriend.
Wait. One of them is being strung along by an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, he's like using her for stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and this is him. She is plays no role in this at all. He's completely exploiting her.
Oh, Drew, shut up.
All right.
Go ahead.
And her friend likes me, and I really like the girl.
Not the friend, but the one that's being strung along.
Yeah.
Right.
And
does the one that's being strung along know you're attracted to her?
Yes, she does.
And she doesn't seem to be wanting to do anything about that.
It's just that her friend likes me. And
oh, so that's the reason?
That.
That's the reason she's not going for it is because of the friend?
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
No.
She's not going for it because she don't like you.
She's into this boyfriend.
The guy's stringing her along.
That's it. That's it, Seth.
Seth, you'd be a good trial attorney.
Okay.
You'd be like... Please. Yeah, Your Honor, his client was found clutching the murder weapon with a full confession at the scene of the murder. Counsel, do you have anything to say in your client's defense?
You are found guilty as charged.
Seth?
Huh?
Yeah. I know this is a good story, and God knows I've told 1,000 of these myself and probably believed it at least 500 of them, but if she was really into you, she'd be with you.
That's it.
She wouldn't care about her friend.
You're available. She knows the ex-boyfriend is sort of stringing her along.
Why wouldn't she be with you?
Come right over.
That's true.
Okay. Right. I mean, you'd tell her. You could tell her, look, I know your friend likes me, but I don't like her. I like you. And if she really liked you,
she'd be on.
Here's all you got to do, everybody. Close your eyes and picture what you would do if you liked the person, if the person liked you as much as you like them. Do you know what I mean? Put yourself into that position. Everybody do that. You know when you're really into somebody, Drew?
Yeah.
And you remember those days at least, Drew?
Mm.
And that's long before he got tied to the whooping post.
Oh, stop.
Tied to the whooping post.
Ow!
Oh, Lord, I feel like I'm dying.
You think I'm somehow like your friend Jimmy.
Jimmy? Jimmy is not tied to the whooping post.
He is.
How dare you? Jimmy is he's the master of his relationship.
No.
Are you kidding me?
He's not happy. No. Or she's not happy.
I didn't say anyone was happy, but the point is no one takes any crap. Yeah, you're happy like a dog when it's put in its crate. Please, a couple of rawhide bones in there. You don't know any better. That's why you're happy. You're happy like a native with a yo-yo.
Stop. I'm happy if I'm happy.
It doesn't know. Okay, but listen, where was I? Remember when you were really into people back when? If they were half that into you,
They'd
be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can they be really into you but not be with you? And
it's because you're too nice.
Right.
Or you're too good. You deserve someone better. What a load of crap that is.
Thank you. Mike?
Hey, what's up, man? Long time listener, third time caller.
Great, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have this, I just got my tongue pierced like 3 and a half days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a buildup on top. And it's kind of white. It's starting to turn a little yellow.
Mm.
And one paper I got said that it could be infected like that. And
is it swelling?
No, it's starting to go down now.
Does it hurt?
It's still sore.
Are you using the mouthwashes?
Yeah, I got glyoxide or something.
Yeah. Are you doing it the way you're supposed to do it?
I just got that today, yeah.
Well, some of that debris, that buildup can be healing. It doesn't have to be infection. But that is such a serious problem if it develops. It can occlude your airway. It can be a life-threatening infection rapidly. So why not have somebody look at it, decide whether or not they think it is infected? And being on some antibiotics couldn't hurt.
I saw a news story over the weekend where somebody got a tongue piercing and apparently some clot or something went up to their brain.
Yep, there you go.
And did some... it didn't kill the person, but they had quite a brush. And it was late. I was drunk. And I barely remember it, but I do remember thinking, this is something the kiddie should know about.
I was bored, so I had my tongue pierced. I was bored, so I put a spear through my
stuff. Stuff's got to be happening like that with those piercings. It's got to be. Now, if we take a drug like Rezulin, which is a great drug, kind of hurt 3 people, helped several million.
Right.
Taken off the market immediately.
Mm-hmm. What's that Rezulin for?
For diabetes. But the point is... And it was a huge scandal. How dare this drug company put something up so dangerous? Yet,
right.
People are getting this crap pressed through their body all the time. Nothing can happen other than something disastrous. Nothing good can happen from it.
Right.
Nobody says anything.
All right. Well.
Good times.
Nobody knows. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with Amanda. She's 14. Wants to know for 20 or...
No.
No? Oh, lightning round tonight. 29, putting an 8-pound weight around this penis. Wants to know if that's going to increase the size after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew.
That's why we love radio. No attorneys.
Yeah. I was just telling Drew how much I hate attorneys. I've talked to many attorneys in my life and never an answer. Never. Always got to get back to you on it. Got to check it out. Let me check that out. Let me get back to you. Then they get back to you? No. Then you outsmart them, and they hate it. Here's the thing I think everyone hates about attorneys. They're inherently arrogant. They think they're smarter than you are, except for the part where they're not that smart. They just have a lot of training, but they're not intelligent people, because I just don't think intelligent people go into that branch. Okay. Don't get me going. Anyway, it's a love line. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there, the guy banging the mug down on the console.
Yeah.
He's going to get that mouse pad to put it on there.
You know, I hate doctors.
There you go. All right. Let's talk to Lance, who is 29. Lance?
Yep. What's up?
Well, you're 29?
Yeah, 29.
Well, you sound younger.
Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
What's going on?
I got a question. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I heard them talk about some type of penis enlarger that's like a weight that, you know, basically hangs from your penis and straps on your leg.
Right.
And I guess the medical proof behind it or something is they were talking to, like, these people in Africa, you know, like...
With big lips? Maybe they put the plates in their lips?
Yeah, and then they have that growing or whatever, the cell stimulation or whatever.
Right.
And it sounded sound, but, you know, I thought I'd ask the expert and see what Dr. Drew had to say about it.
Well, I think you can make your penis larger when it's flaccid if you constantly hang weights off it.
Yeah.
Just like you could get your earlobes out so that they could fit when your arms through them.
And I'm thinking, why waste money? You know, I got an 8-pound bowling ball, you know, in my closet, so I could just, you know, basically strap that bastard on there.
Yeah, well, tear your penis right off.
Oh.
Hold on. Your bowling ball weighs more than 8 pounds, doesn't it?
Well, you could get, like, a little cheap 8-pound ball, you know, steal one from an alley.
Whatever.
No, I don't think you can do that. But anyway, listen, make your penis bigger when it's flaccid and when it's dangling and probably just after you took the weight off. But when it gets erect, it ain't gonna be bigger.
But you have a nice little elephant's trunk hanging off the tip.
Yeah.
A little bunch of stretched out tissue. That'd be good.
By the way, what woman is impressed by this? Who's it for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What woman spots this before
you pick her up? There is something going on. I mean, every time, I was driving up Robertson today, and this big billboards, you know, get Viagra, get penis long. And I thought, what is going on in this world that men are so preoccupied with this now? Are we so lonely, so desperate? Is our expectation of what we're able to do as men so out of line with reality? I mean, what's going on here?
Well, it seems cyclical to me. And here's what I'm saying. It dies off because what happens is it comes on and it gets kind of debunked. It's like freeway shootings. It gets hot for a little while. Remember, it was about 5-6 years ago. It was a lot of fat injections in the penis.
Right, that's true.
Dr. Penis. It always gets started in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida is really the cradle of all evil. Mm. All terrorist activity, everything bad, everything evil, every disease, everything. It all begins in Florida.
Got it.
The doctor's in Florida. The guy's always in Florida. Whenever you're trying to order something dicey from a magazine or something, or you want to get some bad snuff film or some bondage ding or some chick who's humping a German Shepherd, the address is always in Florida. I don't know when someone famous's father gets shot or some tragedy happens, Florida. I don't know what goes on over there, but apparently it leads the nations and nation and all things that are evil and dicey. But some doctor in Florida comes out with something where he's injecting fat and everything like that. All the news agencies pick up on it, becomes all the fodder for the morning radio shows. That stays hot for about 18 months, and then it gets debunked. There's lawsuits. The guy gets shut down. It doesn't work out. And it goes away. And then the dust settles, and 3 years later, it crops up again. And I think we're kind of in the middle of the crop up again. It'll fade down another year, and then we won't hear anything for another 3 to 5 years. And it'll be back again. And it'll start in Florida.
We'll be right back.
Ooh.
Paul?
Hello.
Hey, Paul.
Hey. So, here's the deal. I have a friend who's also 26, and he's now married. And about a year ago, he confessed when he was drinking with another friend of ours. And he confessed that he had been molested by one of his uncles. Now, he just said it in the spur of the moment, and my friend never said anything about it, and the friend who said it never...
We got to go to break here. What's the question?
Okay, the question is, he doesn't show any signs of anything wrong with him.
What's the question?
Okay, should I approach him in a way that sort of he can get any help, or should I just leave it at B if he's not showing any signs that anything's wrong
with
him?
I think you can assume that it has had some consequence. I think as a friend you should bring it up, that you're aware of it, and encourage him to look into it if he has any question about it affecting him, and that's that. Okay. Otherwise, not in your business.
Well, it's his friend, and he cares about him.
Yeah.
Okay, when we come back, we'll speak to Matt, who's 19, thinks his best friend is gay, who was molested. Well, everyone's molested. And wants to know...
The friend hates... He overreacts to gay, see?
Oh, the guy thinks he's gay, protests too much.
Right.
Okay, after this. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Hey, Loveline, y'all. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You know, I'm a little sick, Drew, but I think I can muster the strength for a lightning round tonight.
No. Yeah. Really, it'd be okay if you just coasted. Why don't you make one of those sounds you just made about a minute or two ago? Just for a while. Yeah. 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 It's nice. Every commercial break, we break with that. You think my goddamn headsets clicking on the countertop here is annoying. What do you think it's like to have somebody go to every commercial vomiting?
Yeah, I'm sick, Drew. What do you want me to do? You wouldn't even be here. Thanks, baby. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You ready to rock here, Drew?
Let's go.
All right, let's talk to Matt. Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's going on?
How you guys doing?
We're fine. You're calling us. What's up?
Listen, I've had this friend for about 8 years, 9 years. Best friend. He's my right-hand kind of a guy. Recently, some things have been going down with our friendship between me and him. He accused me of being gay the other night. Thing about him, a little bit of history about him, he was molested as a kid. Pretty bad. He never told me about it. He's never talked to me about it. It's probably the only thing that we've ever really kept from each other.
How'd you find out about it?
You know what? Another kid that came in with we have a pretty close friendship, and another kid that came in, he was molested too, and the way that they bonded, like, without even really knowing each other, was unreal. Mm. The way that they would talk, and the other kid, they would finish sentences for each other.
How do you know the other kid was molested?
Because then they just started talking, and then they went off, and then they started talking about it, and I just kind of overheard the conversation, and then now he admits it. Now he talks about it. They both do.
All right.
And I remember them both saying, you know, I remember that night like it was yesterday.
I thought you said he kept it from you.
Yeah, he did, actually. And one time I remember...
Except for the part...
Where he tells you?
Where he told you about it?
Well, he told me about it after those two talk.
Not before he was molested?
Yes.
I see.
One time... It was a long night. We were talking, and he, something brought up. He's like, "Have you ever had a dream of homosexuals?" And I didn't have the clue that he was molested. And I started laughing, and I'm like, "No, man." I was young too. I was really young at the time. I was like, "No, man." I'm like, "That's wrong." I mean, like, no, I've never had that kind of a dream.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
So what are we getting to here? You got a screwed up friend who doesn't share everything with you, although eventually
he
does.
He can keep that away from me and stuff like that.
All right.
But who cares?
But he accused you of being gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And you told him you weren't were?
I told him straight up. I'm like, no, I'm not gay.
All right.
So what's the problem? There you go.
The basis of him calling me gay were pretty three things that that kind of got to me, that kind of brought me a question to him and about his sexuality. Number one, I went on a date with about 4 to 5 people. I had a date. I had a girl with me, my girl. There was another couple, and there happened to be an acquaintance of a gay guy there on the date.
All right.
He says, since I knew about that, since I knew that there was a gay guy there, I never should have went. This was like 6 months ago. He says, I never should have went.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I'm joining the Army.
You join the Army.
Right now. All right. Right now, I have a pretty good job. I'm just doing customer service.
When are you joining that Army?
I leave the 13th of January.
Okay. You got about 3 more weeks before you never see this guy again.
Mm-hmm.
I just hang out, lay low, and then go off to Michigan.
Was he sexually abused by a male?
Yes, he was.
All right, so he has some strong feelings about...
He's got some stuff, but...
people who are gay.
He
himself may be, have some sexual identity issues because of this trauma.
But why would he put it on another person? One of his best friends, his best friend...
Look, that's what people do.
He had bad trauma. His wires are crossed.
Called projection.
Yeah.
But Matt.
Yes.
You're going to go far away and kill people. All right? All right? And you're not going to have to deal with him anymore.
One of the things that people do
is feelings
that are particularly, certain kinds of personalities, feelings that are particularly shame-evoking, things that are very, very icky, let's say, to them, they put it onto another person as a way of containing that feeling and getting it outside of themselves. So this may be something he's actually feeling, and he's putting it on you.
Right. But don't worry. You just... He doesn't seem like the... I mean, maybe you guys shouldn't spend as much time together is what I'm saying. And remember, if you're gay, you know, when you go in the Army, don't tell.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
There's another movie Drew never saw. Scotty?
Yeah?
What's up?
I just wanted to ask why all therapists tell you to always go to therapists.
Because, therapist?
I was just curious to ask Drew that.
What do you mean, all
I'm
therapists?
I'm not a therapist.
Well, but I mean... all these people call and they have problems, and my parents were divorced. I left home at 16, but I'm 36, got a good job, led a good life, and everything's fine now.
All right.
That's good. So what's the problem?
I just wondered why therapists always tell you to go to therapy.
Well, what therapists are you talking about?
All these radio shows and Sally and the penis enlargement. It's all just all this media. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's the reason. A lot of people need it, especially the people that call into the shows, because obviously they're better candidates for therapy because they're calling with some problems. But B, it's one of these things. It's like take a multivitamin. They know it ain't going to hurt them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about
the show. The show's awesome.
You don't have to worry about somebody dying from going to therapy because went to therapy.
Sometimes the therapy almost makes that person just freeze for years and just...
No. No.
And some of the therapists, if the therapists suck, then...
No. What do you mean therapy makes the person freeze for years?
Well, they dwell on one thing, you know, tell me about your mother and that kind of stuff.
No, listen.
Mom, I'm so mad at you!
Scott,
how did you get
so stupid?
No, I'm not.
Therapist doesn't do anything.
It just seems like a lot of these kids, if they just got out of these bad situations and just... got a job and led a good life, everything will work itself out.
That would be good, except for they can't get out of the bad situation. Yeah, they can't lead a good life.
They repeat the cycles of the problem, and that's what we're talking about here.
Well, that was just one of the things, and like the Man Show was a good thing.
Thank you. Listen, I'm with you on this. I wish people could get themselves out of the situation.
That's what I tell my patients. They're addicts. I said, hey, if all you need to do is be convinced you need to stop using drugs, go ahead. But being an addict means, the very definition means you can't stop even when you want to more than anything else in the world. That's addiction. You need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
also millions of Americans smoke weed on weekends, and they're construction workers, and they're just regular guys, regular women.
That's right. They're not addicts.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but okay, Scotty, enjoy that weekend weed.
All right.
Have fun with that hammer.
Okay, dude.
All right, take care.
Rock on.
Take care. Listen, everybody, and I don't know why everyone feels like it's incumbent upon them to defend everyone on the planet. You know, you say to yourself, you make these statements that a higher percentage of these people are at risk for this, or a higher percentage of those people, or these folks would get something out of therapy, and then everyone has to call up and point out the one example where you're wrong. Okay, let's just say that you're not talking about, out of 100 people, let's say you're only talking about 85 of them. Isn't that enough? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know one guy who didn't. You know the 100th guy who didn't actually go through that or didn't actually need that help. That's fine, but we're telling the other 99. How important is it for you to let us know about the one guy? This seems like something that everyone has in them, and I don't understand that.
Well, this is don't bother me with my S. This is I want to keep smoking cigarettes, and the reason being, my grandma Moses had a friend.
I think it means weed, by
the
way.
No, no, cigarettes. My grandma Moses had a girlfriend who smoked cigarettes since she was 8 years old.
Right.
Therefore, because you know what? Everyone knows that person. I have a patient.
Sure.
Listen, I have a patient who is 93. She has been smoking 2 packs a day since she was 8. Her mother, listen
to
this.
Could not smoke 2 packs.
No, listen.
Hold on. Drew,
listen to me.
Shut up.
Listen to me.
Two packs since 8.
Her mother gave her large doses of nicotine because they were starving to curb her appetite. And the mother would make the children, that she lived in somewhere, I think in El Salvador, if I remember right, and she made them smoke at least 1 to 2 packs a day.
Oh, now it's down to 1.
She, according to this patient, she's been smoking 2 a day since she was 8, and at her mother's suggestion, and it worked to curb their appetite when they were starving in poverty.
All right, that's okay. Good. But I know it's not 2 packs a day.
All right, but the point is that I know that person too. Now, now should I go to my other patient and say, you know what? I know this 94-year-old's been smoking since she was 8. Let's all go ahead and smoke cigarettes now.
Right. Very, very good example. Sure. Everyone knows that person does nothing but drink scotch, eats red meat, and smokes unfiltered cigarettes and is 95 years old. But does that mean it's good for you?
The other 99 million of them that would have been 95 are all dead.
That's right.
That's why you don't know the dead ones. It's because they're dead.
So here's my point, and I think Drew's point. Let's not focus on the one person that lived. And as a matter of fact, you're endangering the other people who should be quitting when you focus on that one person.
In fact, maybe we get rid of the people that are still alive, because they're a menace to people that they might believe.
Set a bad example.
Set a bad example for the rest of the world, yes.
All right. Bin Laden first, and then that Salvadorian bitch has been smoking 2 packs since she was 8. Shane? 2 packs at 8. Shane, you're 18.
She was starving, right? Yeah. 1 pack ain't going to do it.
Nope.
Right?
No.
You have starvation.
Listen, screwball.
Can't afford 2 packs.
If you got enough for 2 packs of cigarettes a day, you can buy half a loaf of bread, for Christ's sake.
I don't know how they got that.
Go work that math out with
El
Salvadorian. Well, seriously.
I'll ask that.
Well, look at it this way. Cigarettes ain't free.
Unless they worked in a cigarette rolling plant or something.
But a pack of cigarettes is always cheaper than a loaf of bread. I mean, more, I should say, than a loaf of bread.
I would think. Well, certainly now.
I would even say historically.
Yeah.
I would say when a pack of smokes was 50 cents, a loaf of bread was 25 cents. That's what I would say. I'd like to look into that. Mm. So she could have bought some beans with that money. Aye! Crazy Drew. Shane?
It's Shana.
All right. What's up?
Okay, I have a question. I have a fiance, okay? He's 21.
Mm.
He has cerebral palsy, and his mom is totally possessive of him because that's her baby,
mm-hmm.
in a way. And I'm kind of afraid of her.
Yeah. Well, how bad is the cerebral palsy?
Well, not too bad. You know, I can understand him when he talks and stuff, and he has a walker. He's not in a wheelchair yet.
Yet.
But. Yeah, yet, but that doesn't matter to me. But it's just that his mom is, like, so possessive, and she turns evil on me every time I try to, like, talk to him and stuff.
Well, she gets evil when you speak to him?
Yeah, I mean,
what does she think you're up to?
Huh?
What does she think you're up to?
I don't know. Like, he tells her that, like, he wants to, like, marry me and all this stuff, and that he's going to do it, and that he's going to leave the house, and she's like, well, no, you're not. You're not leaving me, and I'm like, ouch, what am I going to do? Because I'm like, stuck. He's stuck.
What's wrong? What's up with you? Why does she hate you
so
much?
Yeah, why would she have a problem with someone?
I don't know.
You got any problems? You got any kids or anything?
No, I don't. I'm still a virgin at 18.
You no good hooligan.
No prison record or anything?
No. Actually, I'm a certified nurse's assistant.
Ooh. Everything's good with her? You never had any big run-ins with her or anything?
Not really. It's just, I think it's the fact that, she's taken care of him his whole life and everything.
Yeah. All right. I'm afraid of her.
I'm even afraid to, like, talk to her. I've tried talking to her, and she's
because she's
like,
so unpleasant?
Yeah, she's
Can he talk to her?
He's tried, but she every time he tells her mom, this is what's going to happen, she just laughs at him.
How do you spend time together?
We just, we hang out.
But where? At his house?
No. Not at mine either. We go out.
Do you have your own place?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, you're pretty independent for 18.
Yeah.
Why?
Huh?
How long have you been independent?
Since I was like 16, pretty much.
Ooh, what happened?
Alcoholic dad.
Yeah.
Yes. I have an alcoholic dad, but he's never been in my life, thank God.
Right. Yeah. You know how we know? All people who get into nursing have an alcoholic dad. it just is. Nurses come from chaos.
Oh, great.
There's something. Well, listen, no, God bless you. You're 18. Mm-hmm. You got your ass together, and you're doing what you should be doing. You know, you're not doing porn films.
Are you?
You're not doing porn films, sir?
No.
No. Okay. Now, how did you meet this guy? He was a patient?
Huh?
Patient of yours?
No, he wasn't a patient or anything. He was through a friend of mine because that's her cousin.
Uh-huh.
And she's all, you know, you should meet him and blah, blah. And, you know, she didn't tell me about his condition and he was afraid to even, you know, meet me or anything because he thought that I totally like, oh, ew, you know,
right.
I don't want you or nothing. But it wasn't like that.
No, it's actually a plus.
Yeah.
I mean, someone else to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, isn't it interesting how attraction works? It's like most 18-year-old girls would be thinking, nah, who wants to deal with this cerebral palsy? But Shane, and I'm not blaming you for this, but it's interesting when you think about how attraction works. This is what attracted you to nursing, and this is attracts you to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's some work to do here. There's going to be work taking care of this guy, right?
Right, right.
Would you guys like to move out together?
Like, yeah, I mean, I have my own place. You know, I've offered for him to move in and everything, but his mom's like, no, you're not going anywhere.
All right, so she sees you as a threat. And yeah. I think moms get this way. They get a retarded kid or a kid with some disability, and the kid becomes like a pet now. Mm-hmm. They can never leave. Mm-hmm. They just keep taking care of him.
And I don't understand. Like, I've tried everything, being nice to her.
Okay.
All that stuff.
Well, look, he is going to have to start asserting himself with her and working on her.
If he can.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have to start spending more time out and more time with you. And when she says, where have you been? Or why didn't you call? Or why didn't you come home? He has to say, you know what? I'm an adult. I'm a man. I found a woman. I'm in love with her. She's a good woman. And I wish you could love her like I do.
Mm.
And just start weaving that in. Most parents come around. They initially get a little weird at the beginning because they just hate everyone new and anyone's going to take their baby away from them. But eventually, once they find out that they love their baby as much as they do, they start to back off. And then they end up liking you more than their kid, which ends up becoming ironic. Then you guys sit around and talk smack about your own. I love that syndrome. The wife and the mom are sitting around talking smack about the son and the husband, who's the same guy. Oh, that pig. How did you live with him? I don't know. I'm glad you got him now. I couldn't take him. True, isn't that bizarre? You think that happens with you?
Probably.
Yeah? Yeah. Michael?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. Well, the thing is, when I have sex, I get like this little cut on the bottom of my penis.
Where?
Like, right where the head meets the...
Are you uncircumcised?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons people get circumcised. You can get a little tearing and rips there, and they can... The skin can start to narrow. And
That's not what's happening.
No, he's just pulling back, and then it's tearing.
Yeah, he's pulling that skin around.
But that's, you know, that's, again, circumcision.
you love that circumcision.
No, I'm just saying that would
yes,
take care
you
of
do.
It.
Just admit it.
I wouldn't love that. You hate foreskins.
You hate foreskins.
I do. I admit it. I hate them.
All right. Thank you.
But they're a hassle.
No, what I want
in
to
fact,
know
I'm thinking. I think I'm not going to clip my fingernails anymore because I don't want anyone taking my nails away. I want the man taking my nails away from me.
All right,
so you know what I'm saying?
I know.
That's what that is. I'm cutting my. I can cut my hair either.
Well, Drew, I'd say that's a little different. Hey, Michael. Okay, so look, you got to get used to your dork.
All right, but I mean, what I want to know is it going to be like permanent or what? Like every time.
Well, are you having very vigorous sex?
Oh, not really. No.
Do you wear a condom?
No.
Okay. Why don't you take your foreskin when you get your erection and sort of peel it back and leave it there?
Stretch it out.
And don't leave it over the head of your penis, because then when it's moving up and down, it won't tear. You just slide it back like you're rolling the sleeves up on your sweater.
All right.
See, Drew, watch what I do with my sweater.
Okay, your sweater.
That's my sweater. Yeah. See, it takes sleeve?
Yeah.
Slide it like that?
Yeah.
And then I really get into the fisting. All right, Michael. Here,
that's what you're into.
Good times. Yeah. I like that fisting, Drew. That's my thing. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right.
Hang a second, Josh. 1 second. Am I wrong? It's extra skin. This is extra nail. This is extra hair.
Yeah. Well,
why does that have to be qualitatively different than other things that come off your body that are excessive and are a hassle? Get in the way.
Let me explain something here, Drew. Let me explain what you're reacting to.
I'm not having an emotional reaction to it at all.
Just quiet and listen to me, please. It's just like last night when we were talking to Serenity about why everyone hates PETA and why a lot of people hate the NRA and why a lot of people hate these so-called groups, these fringe groups that are always trying to do something. There's too much energy, and they get crazy about nothing. I forgot about PETA, you know, wanting to not have the guy at the Indy 500 drink milk in the winner's circle, which has been like a 100-year tradition, because it's not fair to cows. And now everyone signs off on them. Serenity made the argument, which is they have to do retarded things to keep themselves in the news. And I said, well, that's how Manson got in the news. And she got very offended by that and didn't understand the correlation, but I thought it was pretty clear. Here's the point. The whole foreskin thing. Yeah, it's fine with it, and it's fine without it.
Yeah.
And if you were going to, you know, break it into a scale kind of thing, you might be 51-49 in favor of circumcision.
Yeah.
But the foreskin advocate guys got nutty.
Totally.
And they start talking about restoration of foreskins, and they start talking about suing their parents for cutting it off. And a nutty fringe group got really crazy about this stuff. Now, please, everyone listen to me. Everyone that has a major problem with nothing is insane. Do you understand? The guys that cry over the feeling like half a man because their foreskin was removed 40 years ago, and the people that freak out over what happens to cows, and all these people that just get nutty over nothing, they're all wounded deeply, deeply wounded people, and this is their outlet. Drew, your reaction then is to react against all this backlash against the circumcision.
Mm.
But you're reacting to these guys who are overreacting.
But mine is to sort of try to take it and flatten the landscape and just go, why does it have to be different than other parts of your body where you remove things that are sort of in the way?
Right.
Because, why is it different?
Because people have energy and they're crazy. Let me tell you, having a foreskin is fine and not having one is fine.
Absolutely. Having long nails is fine.
And it should be a decision that's left up to the family. And sometimes dads want their junk like their kids, or their kids like their son like their pecker. And I respect it. I understand it. And to give it any more discussion than that is giving it too much discussion. Thank you.
You're insane.
Thank you. Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up, baby?
Oof.
Wait, weren't we talking to somebody else? Oh, Josh?
Oh, yeah, we were talking to Josh. Hang on a second, Amanda.
I didn't like Josh.
All right.
Josh, you sit on hold for a while. Think about your attitude. No. Think about my attitude. Go ahead, Amanda.
I'm 14, and there's this 21-year-old guy that says that he likes me.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I don't know if he's, like, just playing with me or, like, he's just, like, you know, he means it.
Let's say he means it. Let's just hypothesize he means it. What would happen then?
Well, like, I met him at the bowling alley with, like, a couple of my friends.
Hang on. This guy, a 21-year-old, becomes your boyfriend?
No, like, we're just, like, friends. But he tells me that he likes me, and, like...
All right, so let's say that that's true.
Well, let her finish. You met her at the bowling alley.
And, we, like, became friends with them. And, you know, we just, like, hung out with them and stuff. And then, like, my friend gets, like, this big old crush on him. And, like, he tried to kiss her. But, like, she never, like, kissed him or anything. Because, like, she just had a feeling that, like, he was just playing with her. And one time, like, I invited him over to one of my friend's house because, like, we were bored, and since, like, he was our friend, like, you know, I just invited him over, and, like, he was, like, laying on my shoulder, and he told me that he liked me, but I was, like, you know, whatever.
Okay. How are we going to deal with this here?
We got to gamble. Amanda?
Yeah.
Hang on, we got to do some gambling on you.
Okay.
All right. All right, hang on there, Peaches. Hang on. I love these guys, by the way. It's always great, too. They're not. We met him, and he came over, and he tried to kiss one of my friends, and then he told me he liked me, and it's like, this old weird dude is in. I don't know if he likes me, he just wants to be friends.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, really, it's like you're talking to somebody about some magic...
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk type story.
But
the
guy, remember,
that's a 21-year-old guy who hangs out of bowling alleys and tries to get laid.
Remember, they have not. She is looking at the world through 14-year-old eyes. So a 21-year-old experiences the world like a 14-year-old does in her way of thinking, because she's never gone beyond that.
Okay,
that's just what a male's into. What other 14-year-olds are into. Nice. As opposed to what you're into.
Yeah. Why don't you guys get mature like me? All right, we're going to take a break, let the fart clear out here, and we'll come back and gamble on Amanda after this. Hey there, everybody. Love line. We'll do a little gambling. When we left off, we're speaking to Amanda. Amanda's 14, and I know 14 is young, but she sounds younger.
Mm-hmm.
She has a situation where there's a 21-year-old guy she has some interest in. The guy has expressed some interest in her, but she's not sure whether he's actually interested or not. She met him at a bowling alley. She was, it sounds sort of comical already. He parties a little with the girls. And, Amanda?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever drink together?
No.
Smoke pot together?
Nope.
How old are your friends?
They're 14.
They're 14, and he kind of hangs with them a little?
Yeah, well, like, because he works there, and so we, like, kick back right there, and so...
All right, I've got...
You kick back, but he wanted to kiss one of your friends.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. And he told you that he liked you.
Like, a few weeks after that, he told me that he liked me at my friend's house when my other friend was there.
So he... See, I suggested that he goes out and sort of hangs with you guys, and you said, well, no, he works there, and we sort of kick it with him, but he was over at your friend's house.
I invited him over one time, because I was bored, and...
Okay, yeah. So he does go over to the house. Does he know how old you guys are?
Yeah, he does.
And what about the friend's parents? As a 21-year-old, aren't you scared assless to be walking into some house holding a Brunswick and some rented shoes and running into Pops in the living room?
My parents weren't home.
Yeah, no one was home.
I know, but I mean, just picture you being 21 and, like, I'm partying with these 14-year-olds. I mean, they don't know what's going on, but what about Pops or older brothers hanging out?
Jeez, I can remember a guy who was hanging out with my high school friend named Chicken, worked in the local car wash.
Yeah.
He was a guy that would bring people drugs, and he was a guy people's house they'd hang out at. He was hanging out with 16-year-olds. The guy was like 30.
Well, here's the whole deal. You have automatic cool when you're older. See, you can work at a bowling alley. You can make $6 an hour. You cannot be able to screw anyone your own age, and you can get zero respect from any of your peers or society, but you're automatically cool because you're older. Mm. And for guys...
Well, especially a 30-year-old who acts like a 15-year-old. That's ultra cool.
But look, everybody wants to be looked up to. Everyone wants to be respected. And if you can't earn it, why not go where you can automatically get it?
Granted it. Anyway, I think
yes.
I got a little read on
her.
The
biggest loser in the world is still the coolest dude in the room when everyone is 14 and he's 21.
Yep.
You right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So, what about her? Ready?
Want to bet on her?
Go.
You go first.
Something happened with a 19-year-old at 12.
Ooh.
And total meltdown at 6.
What do you mean total meltdown?
Dad gone. Again, some older neighborhood guy, 20-year-old, got at her some weird way. Mom, not available.
Sexual abuse at 12 and at 6?
I'm not sure
sexual abuse at six?
Yeah. She, I don't know. But that almost there. Same at 12.
Give me a hug. Yeah.
She's not sexualized enough.
No, you know I'm, mean? Not, I'm not getting a real good read on this.
I wouldn't say.
I'm going to say, geez, I want to say just sort of nothing sexual because she would have blown this guy a year ago.
It's abandonment. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, but I'm sort of even almost getting a workaholic dad who's just not around. But then she would be having sex with the guy if she was
She'd
abandoned.
She'd be angrier, see.
Dad died? Dad split.
Yeah, early.
Why isn't she sexually into this guy? Why is she sort of stunted sexually? Maybe something sexual did happen to kind of put her on ice.
Yeah.
Freak her out a little bit.
Yeah. See, I think somebody like touched her or something that sort of shut her down. They didn't actually have sex with her.
All right, I'm going to play one.
All right.
I'm going to play something weird at six, like Grandpa did something weird to freak her a little bit.
Okay, and I'm going Neighbor.
And Dad, Grandpa, I ain't going to make any money with Grandpa.
Let's see. Come on.
All right.
Let's get the real story.
No, I'm going to, sure, you want me to hustle ahead so I lose that four quarters I put down there. All right. Okay, I'm going to say Dad has left never to be seen again.
No, I got that too.
Okay, I'm going to go with Dad stays around but is cheating on Mom and not there
Give
for her.
Give me a good one. Come on.
That's where I'm going. Amanda?
Yeah.
What's the story?
Dad left.
What?
My dad left when I was six. When my mom was still pregnant with me.
Okay, so he was gone always.
So you never knew him?
I've seen him a couple of times, but he scares me, so I stay away from him.
Okay, why does he scare you?
I don't know. One time he stalked me at my school when I was in the third grade, and it was just there, and it just totally freaked me out.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's mostly it.
Did you date an older guy when you were younger?
No.
No, never done anything like this before.
Nope.
You sound so familiar with this kind of thing.
And I'm
but she never moved. She never made a move.
All right, and then nothing happened when you were six.
He tried to put his hands in my shirt.
Yeah, great. Well, this guy's all class.
Pure class. Yeah. I'd like to party with this individual.
Party? Let's just take him out for a
nice shooting. Nice clubbing. Hey, but
Amanda, what happened when you were six?
When I was six?
Yeah.
Nothing much.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Grandpa?
I think he died.
Sometimes.
Drew, you know what I love about this show? That three times a year I have to sneeze or blow my nose or something, and you know what we have? Dead air. How does that work, Drew?
Well, it's you going to a wind-up.
All right. Well,
a pitcher getting ready to throw them all. So, Amanda, when you were, why are we picking up on something happened between the age of 5 and 7, something in there? Did you have a tough time in that time? Were you moving around a lot?
I moved around a lot.
And when was that?
All my life.
And again, any neighbors try anything weird with you or anything like that?
No, that I know of.
Listen, what about, and I'm not getting, see, as someone who was sexually abused might have made a move already with this
guy. Yeah, but all I'm getting is that definite six-year-old voice.
Okay, what about any stepdads or boyfriends?
Of your mom?
No.
Your mom never got in another relationship?
She did with my stepdad, but
What was he like?
He was mean.
He was mean?
Yeah.
What did he do
to you?
He didn't really do anything. He was just mean.
Scary and mean, huh?
Okay. So, is he still around?
No.
What happened to him?
My mom left him because he was a bastard.
What'd he do to her?
I'm not really sure, but after she left him, I think he remarried again.
Well, what did he do to her that made her leave? Why was he a bastard?
He was bossy or something.
Bossy?
Okay.
Did he ever get violent in the house?
No.
Okay.
My mom could probably kick his butt.
All right. How old were you when he left?
When he left? Or when?
When he left.
My stepdad?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
We were talking about the Easter Bunny?
Yeah.
I love our listeners, our callers. We can talk to them for 10 minutes about a certain person, and then when we say, how old is he, they don't know who we're talking about. And when did he leave?
When I was probably 11.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Something.
Okay. All right. Hey, baby. Sorry you've had a bad time with men so far in your life with your bad dad and your bad stepdad, okay? This guy's a bad guy, too, coincidentally.
You know what he told me?
What?
I told him, I'm like, well, you know I'm 14, right? He's like, yeah. And then he was like, you know, age doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just a number.
Yeah, well, he this guy's a colossal idiot.
Right. Tell him here's another number, 5 to 10.
Yeah, what Amanda, what if you were 7? Would that be okay? Age doesn't matter?
Oh wait, you misunderstood me. He said AIDS doesn't matter.
Age doesn't matter.
AIDS, he said. All right, hey Amanda.
Yeah.
I know it feels good to get attention from a guy, but this is the wrong guy. And you know, Drew, what that was like? That was like when they put these McMartin preschool kids on the stand.
Yeah.
That's what Drew was. Like, she's like, Drew, you were cross-examining a six-year-old.
That's what it sounded like.
Did he touch you in your special place? Here's a teddy bear. Touch the bear where he touched you.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you realize you're talking to a ninth grader here.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Amanda, stay away from this guy. And as a matter of fact, please call the cops if he hangs out with you guys. If he asks to touch anybody or kiss anybody, try to put his hand up your top. Call the cops. I would really like that. And as you know, I don't like the cops called for just anything. But this is the guy I want the cops called on. Sea sucker. Jessica?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
Ooh, you sound like you think you're good looking.
I know I'm good looking.
Is that true? Do you think you're good looking?
Yes, I do.
All right. You sound very confident about the way you think you look.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
I am overweight.
What's are you? You a big gal?
Not extremely big, but I am overweight.
Plus size. But you're attractive?
Yes, I am.
And you know certain black guys are into that, right? I like a big woman who's confident about that. It always smells of compensation to me, but I like that. All right, how big are you?
About a size 14.
Size 14, and according to producer Ann, that's average. But what? How much does that make you weigh?
Well, on me, it's 200 pounds.
All right, that's fine. How tall are you?
5'4".
Solid.
I like a girl with a big butt.
But I'm also very large breasted. So.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
That kind of adds to the weight here.
That's all right.
Bouncy.
All right, so what's the question?
I'm a single mom, and I work full time, and I go to school, and I have issues with dating.
Yeah, what's the problem?
I can't seem to meet anybody.
Why? Have you tried? Have your friends set you up or that kind of thing?
Yeah, generally just friends setting me up just because, you know, the bar scene isn't my thing.
Where are you going to school?
I go to, like, a satellite campus.
Mm. So you don't meet anybody there?
No, not really.
I'm going to let you just make that noise.
Uh-huh?
If I did that, you'd sit here and just go... And just sit back and let that happen.
Shut up.
So true.
Unacceptable.
Well, Jessica, there are guys.
Unacceptable.
There are guys out there. And.
Yeah, I know they're out there, but I mean, it's.
You have to network through friends.
It's hard to meet.
Hey, some people use web services.
How old is your child?
He's 4.
All right. And, you know, don't look at that as a liability because I have.
Absolutely not.
I have many friends who have gotten themselves in relationships, and it already comes sort of with a kid, and they love that kid.
Yeah.
And they're happy. They don't have to go through the whole pregnancy thing. And
it's really,
I'd like to step in and grab one about 4 myself.
Oh, my God. Amongst the amazing data I collected talking to Adam's girlfriend and Jimmy's wife, one of the things that came forth was when Adam's girlfriend was trying to convince him to get married and have babies, she suggested that perhaps they not wait much longer because the risk for Downs would go up, to which Adam responded, he wants a Downs baby.
Yeah. Well,
a Downs child would be great.
Well, look at all the trouble you've avoided. First off, you don't have to buy him all the expensive high-fashion clothes. Right? You never have to worry about him wanting to borrow the car.
And you never have to worry about him ever leaving the house.
Never leaves the house. It's like a pet. No, I said, honey, we
higher education?
We should be, I think I brought that up. I don't have to pay for college. We should be so blessed that we have a Down syndrome baby.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, listen, baby. You need to, here's what you need to do. Probably need to lose a couple of pounds, just because why not?
Well, and because that's the first thing anybody ever looks at.
Makes it easier. What the hell? And what the hell? For you, for me, for him. And number two, I would suggest doing one of those dating service kind of things.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, there's a lot of... Are you Jewish?
No.
I know. I got a buddy who does this J-date thing, this Jew date. It's great. He meets all sorts of Jews.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he is. And why don't you pretend you're Jewish? get on the internet. I'd say do one of these adult dating service things. You're busy. You're a mom. You work full time. You're a student. You just don't have time, and you're not gonna score in the clubs. You need to find a good guy. She's probably not looking for Lorenzo Lamas. She wants something solid.
Mm.
All right, do one of these reputable dating things. All right.
God.
We're going to take a little break.
Okay, fine. What was that?
I'm sick, Drew.
Oh, my God.
When we come back, we'll hit you with the lightning round.
Oh. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute. There we go. It's Loveline. Want to talk to Josh again?
All right.
Josh is 18. You love this guy. He called and you told him he had a bad attitude.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We were going to do the lightning round, but Drew was late. I threw the whole thing off.
You understand? You're rewarding me.
All right, I'm just telling people if they want to know.
What's up, Josh?
All right, back in May, I had sex for the first time, okay? And this girl calls me up, you know, I see her at school and stuff, but she calls me up last week and says that I'm the father of her kid that she just had.
Okay.
But... Okay, so, I mean, it scared the hell out of me. The first person I told was my girlfriend. And...
Oh, yeah?
No, but what I was...
What
I wanted to know...
Well, wait a minute. Did you have the girlfriend when you had sex with her?
No.
New girlfriend.
Right, new girlfriend.
All right.
Okay. But what I wanted to know is, that was in May, all right? And if she had this thing on a Wednesday night and brought it home Thursday night... That makes 7 months. Is that too premature to bring home? I mean, is it
possible? No, that's fine.
They do that?
Yeah, it's possible.
Bring home the next day?
That's 35 weeks.
2 months preemie?
Maybe.
Maybe?
No, it's fine.
Well?
Yeah.
You didn't use any protection?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, well, what'd you use?
Yes.
What'd you use?
A condom.
All right.
And it didn't break?
I don't think it did. I don't know.
Well, then you have evidence. You're suspicious about the dates. You wore a contraception. Maybe it's not yours.
But the thing, yeah, well, that's what I was just wondering, because, I mean, I know she's, like, she had a boyfriend for, like, 2 years, and, you know, they were doing it all the time, and then...
All right, so listen, you have reason to believe that could not necessarily yours. You can get paternity testing if you want.
Right.
And there you go.
Is she nutty?
Well, I think so, because I come to find out from a bunch of different people that she got around quite often.
All right. And why wouldn't she tell you until she had the kid?
Well, see, I don't know. But the thing is she was accusing somebody else for the first 6 months she had it.
All right. So
all right.
Who knows?
Me.
Well, all right. So who knows?
All right, tell her you got to get a paternity test.
Yeah. Eliana.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm 14, and I have some friends that I've been hanging out with.
Uh-huh.
And they've been taking Vicodin, like, to get high, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there was any, like, side effects, or what it just gets you high, or what...
It's profoundly addictive. You might as well be doing heroin or morphine or anything else, all the same. Except Vicodin has one added thing that's now been shown to cause...
Yeah, I don't think you might as well be doing heroin.
It causes deafness.
Really?
And it's real sporadic. We don't know who it's going to cause it in. It's not necessarily associated with the dose you're taking.
You don't get a good buzz off that Vicodin anyway.
Not as good as heroin, but...
No way.
Yeah.
So it's people lightweight. Take it for...
What?
They're trying to get buzzed.
It's an opiate.
Really?
They're trying to alter themselves.
Okay.
You know?
And people who are addicts will really get a profound euphoria from it and feel really good.
You don't want to monkey with that Vicodin.
Not if you can help it.
So it's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
No, listen, man, and this OxyContin and everything, it's just such a horrible life getting strung out on this stuff, because your body really needs it once you get going on it. And then what happens is you got to get yourself some pills, and you got to get a lot of them, and you got to get them every day. And it becomes a full-time gig,
mm-hmm.
and you're breaking into pharmacies and robbing them, and, you know, busting into people's houses and following people home with prescriptions. I mean, it just gets crazy.
Mostly what they do is go to lots and lots of doctors and just get huge prescriptions from multiple doctors.
Yeah, these are you're thinking of sort of upper scale people, though. But I mean, when you're talking about some 19-year-old with no insurance, you're not Elvis.
Yeah.
You're not going to a bunch of doctors. You're ripping people off. You're driving your truck through the wall of the pharmacy and running in at night and grabbing whatever you can grab. I mean, it'd be great if it was that sort of white collar drug abuse stuff, but these people are just a lot of young people getting strung out on this stuff, and it just couldn't be worse, because it's like it becomes a full-time job. That's all you can do.
Oh yeah, that's
addictive. It's like the retarded kid I'm gonna have. It'll be a full-time job for the old lady to take care of him while I'm traveling. Okay, we'll be back. Well, there it is.
Feeny. Your favorite kind of show, though. No one here.
Yep.
No guests.
Remy Zero in here tomorrow night. I don't know if I've been here since they've been here. Have I? We don't know.
We met them before?
Puddle of Mud later on. We will take ourselves a little extended dance break here. And until next time, Santa Crawler for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Line. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.